Police investigate the North Beach fire. Prison guards attacked at Hakea. And Gwyneth Paltrow sued over a skiing accident. It's Wednesday, 22nd of March.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
I can't believe we're there already. This week is flying by.
I know. Do you know what happened to me this morning? Now, my phone switched off during the middle of the night.
What?
I know. I don't know whether there was an update or what's happened. I woke up and I thought, I'll just hit my phone to see what time it is. And then it wasn't turning on. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. It was still dark outside, which was a relief. And then I managed to kind of jumpstart it. And then, yeah, I had about a billion missed calls in there. And I have been the cat meme all morning, just bashing away.
Well,
yeah.
Funnily enough, my phone kind of turned into a brick on Sunday. And but then it revived itself miraculously in time for work on Monday. So I don't know what's going on. Is Apple telling us we need to get new iPhones?
Yeah, maybe. I do have an iPhone SE, which most people think is sort of an antique when they spot it.
Well, it's vintage, mate. It's very cool. And let's talk about this fire that broke out near a primary school in North Beach yesterday. Police are taking a closer look.
Yes, yeah, scary situation. You would have seen the pictures from this one. The fire has been deemed suspicious, so Strike Force Vulcan detectives are now investigating. In terms of the situation this morning, it's at advice level and the fire has been contained. Firefighters are still out there just making sure there aren't any flare-ups, but it came dangerously close to the primary school there. Students were kept inside classrooms and parents were told to come and collect their kids while they still could. There's been something in the order of 20 fires in that bushland area around the primary school. And so it's a big concern and something that Strike Force Vulcan will be looking into.
Yeah, one of the coolest names of any operation in the WA police. And anyone with any information relating to this fire can call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000. And there are rewards of up to $25,000 for any information that leads to the identification and conviction of an arsonist. So if you know something, speak up, because we know the terrible cost that these bushfires can have here in WA. And now let's talk about Hakea Prison and an attack on prison guards.
Yeah, more troubles in Hakea. Three prison guards have been attacked by an inmate. This is the latest round of violence less than 2 weeks after a prisoner was killed inside the maximum security facility. So the West Australian understands the guards were assaulted with a female officer believed to have been thrown to the ground, a male officer punched in the face, and a third guard also injured. The Department of Justice has confirmed the incident and says it has offered support to those guards involved and says that this incident has been reported to police. Now, in terms of the WA Prison Officers Union, well, it says that this incident boils down to the prison being horrendously understaffed. So nothing new in that. We've heard the Prison Officers Union banging on about staffing levels in our prison, but clearly there is an issue there if you have three guards being attacked by one inmate.
Yeah, another issue we know about here on the West Live is the rental crisis in WA, and now we're learning the impact it's having on international students that are coming here to study.
Yeah, how's this? You would have seen on the front page of the West, students paying somewhere in the order of $1,000 for a unit, to share a unit so that they can study here in Perth. Wow. Now, this was pre-pandemic. One of the big industries for Perth was getting international students into our universities to study. It's simply becoming unaffordable now for them to come here because of the housing crisis. And I mean, general families who are from Perth are seeing those issues every single day. But you would think if you're an international student and you're like, yep, I've got this placement, and try to look for a house, you might quickly decide that you're not going to bother coming out here.
Well, it's probably the last thing you think as well. If you're coming from, you know, somewhere overseas, you think, I'm going to come to Perth and study at this great course that I've just got into, you wouldn't even think about housing. You think, how hard could it be to find somewhere to live in Perth, the most isolated capital city in the world?
Yeah.
If there's one thing, though, that works in our favour in terms of this international student issue, is that pretty much every other capital city in Australia has a the same kind of rental crisis. So it's not like they're going to go, oh, we can't get a rental in Perth, so we're going to go to Brisbane and find one. That's just not there either. And now it comes as there's new data on bond assistance loans, which have been revealed in the West Australian today. So these are these loans that can help low-income earners get into private rentals. It's something that's been offered by the state government for quite a long time now. It's really a lifeline for a lot of people on lower incomes. But it's turned out that very few people are even applying for them anymore because they don't even come close to matching what you need to pay your bond in the ultra-competitive rental market at the moment. So to give you an idea, like back in 2019, there was nearly 1,000 people had applied and received these bond assistance loans. But so far in the last 6 months, it's only been about 200 people who've got them.
Oh, wow.
Because it just doesn't foot the bill anymore. So these days, with the cost of rent, your average sort of upfront cost for a family seeking to move into a new rental in Perth is probably around $3,600. That's your 4 weeks, 4 weeks rent paid in advance plus 2 weeks of bond and all that sort of stuff. But the loans are only worth about $1,000 up to about $1,300 for a family with four or more. So you're talking about maybe not even meeting a third of the cost of what they need to move into a new rental.
So is it matter where that bond amount needs to be lifted or indexed? Or?
Yeah, I think that's something that they need to talk about at the moment. They need to also talk about maybe if they should be implementing a cap on rental costs, which is something that they're considering in Queensland at the moment. So definitely some issues to resolve in the rental market, just as there is with the Indigenous voice to Parliament. You know, Maddie, there were late-night talks in Canberra overnight they start to get close to finalising what the referendum question is going to be and what the Indigenous voice is actually going to look like. And the Coalition have been pretty steadfast in their opposition to Labor's initial plan for the voice, but now apparently they're considering a backflip in a rare show of bipartisanship on the issue. A sticking point is the concerns raised by conservative legal scholars about the voice's power to advise executive government, although that's something that other legal experts have kind of said, no, this is not an issue, and it's something that the voice working group in Parliament has been almost unanimous in support of, allowing the voice to have that kind of advice to executive government. And now the Albanese government could take a different path to that's recommended by the working group. But one way we'll know for sure is when the government reveals its final decision, which is expected to happen next week, early next week, after it passes through Cabinet on Monday. And the government has committed to introducing a constitutional alteration bill containing the question and proposed amendment to the referendum by the end of next week. Are you looking forward to seeing it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think in principle, it's a great idea. I think people just want the detail, don't they, to see how is this actually going to operate. To my knowledge, it's not that this group is going to be making the decisions. They're advising government.
And that's right.
I think that is a great thing. If there's decisions that are going to be affecting a particular population or group of people, then those people should have a say or at least have their voices heard.
That's it. They should have a seat at the bloody table. Yeah. And now, I don't know if it was a table, more like a coffee table that Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping were sitting around in Moscow overnight. Geez, they look cozy. Surprise, surprise, Putin has come out and backed Xi's peace plan for Ukraine. So, Maddie, if you came in late, so Beijing's peace plan, and I use that term pretty loosely, was a 12-point plan that he released last month. It talked about national sovereignty, which sounds nice, and peace, of course, which sounds very positive. But it was really mostly about Ukraine laying down their weapons and letting Russia have all the land that it had currently stolen. So needless to say, the West and the Ukraine weren't that enthusiastic about Beijing's peace plan. But needless to say, Putin loved it, and he said overnight...
Do you think Putin authored it and sent it to Xi to present?
Well, Xi Jinping likes the idea of playing the role of peacemaker. Maybe he thinks that maybe he's a dark horse for a Nobel Peace Prize. Can you imagine? but Putin said overnight that Xi Jinping's peace plan would work, but it's the West and Kyiv that are not ready for peace, which is pretty bizarre. Xi said that his government was on the side of peace and they were on the right side of history. He claimed that China had an impartial position on the conflict. I don't know about that. But the pair also discussed discussed growing trade, energy and political ties. And interestingly, Russian state media put out a press release after the meeting, and both leaders apparently agreed that nuclear war must never be unleashed. So that's a good thing. I think that's definitely a positive.
Well, I'm glad we can all agree on that common denominator.
Yeah. But interestingly for us, they also discussed their concern at the new AUKUS pact. So it's interesting that that nuclear sub deal between Australia, the UK and the US is certainly on the radar of Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin.
It's an interesting political move, the two of them meeting and putting forward this peace plan, obviously then trying to paint the West as not wanting peace.
Yes, yes.
So I think the West's response to this is going to have to be very well thought out, especially when played to that audience in Russia and the audience in China. And as we know, those audiences are somewhat controlled by the propaganda machines in those countries. Sport.
Now, here's an interesting one for you, Matty. So they're building a world-first multi-million dollar para-athletic training centre in Brisbane under a landmark deal between the state government and the University of Queensland. But the design has raised some eyebrows. So it's glistening glass structure. Looks absolutely incredible. It's worth millions and millions of dollars. And it's going to be set up in the lead-up to the 2032 Olympic and Paralympic Games in Queensland. So it looks absolutely fantastic. The one thing that's raised eyebrows, though, front and centre in this building for para-athletics training is a spiral staircase.
Yeah, I've just pulled it up now. Yeah, that doesn't kind of make sense, does it?
No. They say that that's not technically the athletic training centre and that's the adjacent building, but certainly, you know, to have a spiral staircase front and centre in your design of a facility for people who probably struggle to get upstairs, not the best look.
No, it's not, and I'm sure there is a lift in there. I take it there's a lift.
It's accessible. It's fully accessible.
But if you're putting that as the centerpiece, it's not a great look.
Not a great look. The Wild West. I tell you what, talking about things that aren't a great look, it'll be interesting to see how Gwyneth Paltrow emerges from this civil trial that she's embroiled in the US that kicked off overnight over claims she seriously injured a man while skiing in Utah in 2016. Have you been following this one at all?
No, I haven't. Bring me up to speed.
Okay, so she's being sued by a retired optometrist, Terry Sanderson, who claims that Paltrow crashed into him at the Deer Valley Resort in Park City. He claims that she was skiing out of control, causing a brain injury, four broken ribs, and other serious injuries. He initially sued her for $3.1 million in damages, but he's reduced it now to $300,000. And in return, the 50-year-old Oscar winner is suing him, saying that he was the one who was actually uphill and had run into her and is suing him for $1 and says that that he physically hurt her. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Arguments are underway right now, but as we know with all these celebrity trials, there are very few winners, so we'll see where it goes. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, March 22. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a great day, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.